Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The Watergate era, that 1970s decade of Nixon, Woodward, and Bernstein, gave us also that strange character with the obscene moniker Deep Throat, an unidentified character for more than 30 years. Well, the new book, The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, a new investigative story of Bernstein, Woodward, and the FBI's Mark Felt by Joseph M. Webb, is in short the story of Deep Throat. Not only who he was, yes, he was quite real, but the political obscene things he did from his number two position within the FBI itself. Deep Throat was, in fact, Mark Felt, the FBI's most feared hatchet man. A highly original story filled with new Watergate research and observations. Serious challenges to the truthfulness of the famous Woodward Bernstein and Robert Redford book and movie, All the President's Men. As a journalist and journalism professor for more than 50 years, Joseph Webb began his Watergate research even as the events of that era were unfolding in the 70s. Webb, Woodward, and Bernstein, all about the same age, were prominent newspaper reporters at the same time, they in Washington, D.C., and he in Chicago in the Illinois state capitol. Joseph, who has two doctorate degrees and a dozen earlier books, has collected, analyzed, and documented volumes of the Watergate story over all the years since it began. And Joseph M. Webb, author of The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, a new investigative story of Bernstein, Woodward, and the FBI's Mark Felt, is our guest on This Week in America. Joe, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So much great information here. And if you're like me and think, I pretty well know the Watergate story, I lived it from day to day, waiting for the newspapers to come out to follow what was going to be happening, what had happened the day before. This is going to open your eyes. And all of this highly researched, the book is The Watergate Deep Throat Secret. Let's start with the origin in your research in this and why you decided to do this deep dive, because it really is an intense research project you undertook.
Yeah, and it starts for me in 1968, which is about 4 years before. At the folks who are closer to my age will remember that 68 was the great Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Yes.
The one that broke out in an absolute furor of flamboyant kinds of disturbances, and I was had a new master's degree in journalism from the University of Illinois, and my newspapers in downstate Illinois sent me to Chicago to cover that. And so I got a baptism of fire by being at the 1968 convention, and had a grand time. I learned stuff you never learn in school. And so when 72 came around, I was still in Illinois, still with my five newspapers, the Lindsay Schaub group of newspapers, daily papers, and immediately wanted to connect to the new convention that was about to open. And my interest in it began with the breakout of everything. And I immediately in Illinois began to collect information. I was not sent to cover it, but I began to collect information that came from the Washington Post and the New York Times and places like that. And that's what I did. I collected information on it for 50 years.
It's amazing.
From then until two or three years ago. And my wife one day said, all that boxes of stuff you got, what are you going to do? And I said, well, it's time I get it out and do something with it. That's when I got it out and worked for 2 years to turn out the book.
So many revelations in the book, The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, a new investigative story of Bernstein, Woodward, and the FBI's Mark Felt. Joseph M. Webb is our guest on the program, the author, book available Amazon, wherever books are sold, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the secret source of Watergate information. That's something at the beginning of the story we kept hearing about, this secret source. What's the origin of that? In fact, was there a secret source in the beginning?
Well, yes, in fact, there was. And it came about two young reporters, Carl Bernstein and Woodward, and everybody knows, of course, they're still alive and still seen on TV from time to time.
Yes.
But then they were 30-ish, like I was. We were the same age, are the same age, and what essentially took place was that they were both new reporters for the Washington Post. And out of the blue, of course, comes this event, which took place on June the 17th, as I recall, June 17th, 1972, when a group of five proxies of the Republican Party broke into the Watergate Hotel complex in Washington, D.C., and the strange thing was, the unplanned thing was, that they got caught that night doing that. People my age will remember the news of that.
Yes.
But the story of it is that, very very briefly, is that a couple of them went into the Watergate before it closed up at 5 o'clock, and taped some of the doors in. Those bar type doors taped so that they would stay open. And so after the place closed, they went back and got into those doors that they had taped to be open to them. What they had not counted on was that there was a night watchman making the rounds through the building. And in the midst of them starting their break-in process, this night watchman found the door that he, with the tape that he had put on an hour or two earlier, missing. And he knew something was wrong. He thought at first somebody had just forgotten to do it that was leaving the building to go home. So he retaped it. And then he came back again and found the tape off a second time. And that time is when he called the police and said, something's going on here. The police immediately swarmed the building, found the burglars. And by this time, it's midnight, and there's a night court, and all of the burglars were taken straight to night court. And the Washington Post called Woodward, Bob Woodward, a young reporter, relatively new reporter, and sent him to court to cover that thing. So Woodward was sitting there the night that the five burglars were brought before a judge in the middle of the night. And that's how, that was the kickoff to this whole thing, because Woodward then goes back to the Post the next day and writes up the story of what happened. And with that, a whole series of events begin. But it had that kind of a serendipitous start to it.
Well, yeah, when you heard that story, it's like an interesting story, footnote to history, but suddenly it spins totally out of control and ends up, of course, breaking down a president. It's a fascinating new look with new information in Joseph Webb's book, The Watergate Deep Throat Secret. For a full 30-year period there, from 1975 to 2005, we hear about Deep Throat, but we really didn't know much about the character, that this was this mysterious character. We did not know who it was. Was that totally true? Did nobody know who it was?
Let me take you to the next major thing that takes place. And it is that Woodward and Bernstein are assigned to normal rounds. Woodward was assigned to do rounds in White House offices and of various ones, just a standard reporter making his rounds and, yes, writing his stories when he gets back. And he sat in a waiting room one evening, not long after this, and a second person showed up and sat down near him in that same room. And the two of them began to talk, apparently the only ones in the room. And the person who introduced himself to him was Mark Felt, who was the number two person at the FBI, had come to see whoever's office they were in at the same time Woodward. So they get acquainted that night. And Woodward, he finds out who Woodward is. Woodward finds out he's a reporter for the Post. And Woodward says, if I need help, can I call you sometime? And Mark Felt was that kind of congenial fellow who said, yeah, call me. I'll help you. And that's how it started. Amazing. That was the connection. And the only problem was that Felt told Woodward there was one thing he could not do, and that was tell anybody who he was or that he was with the FBI getting his information. Okay, he could give him the information as long as it was not, he could print it, but not identify yes. its source. It would have to be a source told me, that sort of thing. And so what began was this, that they were in touch a great deal. And Woodward was writing really good stories based on, as the investigation of the break-in continued, the FBI got very into it. And Felt had no trouble calling Woodward and saying, here's some new stuff we're working on, secret, you don't know where you got it, I'm giving it to you, don't tell a soul, that sort of thing. And so he would go back to his editors at the Washington Post and give the editors this rundown on the story. And the editors would say, where'd you get it? He said, I can't tell you. And so what happened was that at one of these meetings, after they know he can't tell us because he's got a secret source somewhere, which the reporters kind of mocked him about, one of the reporters said, okay, here comes another source from Woodward's deep throat. And the reason he said that was because that early pornographic movie starring Linda Lovelace.
Vaguely remember it, yes.
That had just opened in Washington, D.C. That's why the guy had the deep throat, the name of the movie, in his mind. And so it was, his character, at least within the newspaper world, that of the Washington Post, became known as Woodward's deep throat. And that's where it came from. And from that point on, he had to identify deep throat for his editor and for the dear woman whose name slips me at the moment, who owned the Washington Post.
Oh, Catherine Graham, probably.
Catherine Graham.
Yes.
Catherine wanted to know, okay, who are we talking about? So both the editor, who was Ben Bradley, and Catherine Graham knew this identity, but nobody reading his stories would ever know the identity. It would always be a source, a highly placed source. Was the only way, but one of the questions that always comes up is where'd he get that name, and that's how he got the name.
Based on the movie, the Linda Lovelace motion picture classic. Yes, this and so much more unfolds. I shouldn't act like I'm that familiar with Deep Throat and Linda Lovelace, so we'll edit that out of the program. The Watergate, the Deep Throat Secret is the book, a new investigative story of Bernstein, Woodward, and the FBI's Mark Felt by Joseph Webb. Book is available wherever books are sold. His website, josephmwebb.com. Booked there, information on the book, order it there as well, amazon.com. Marketing being assisted by King Pages Press, their website, kingpagespress.com. How did the FBI character as the leaker of the Watergate information, how did that become known? Because at one point, I'm not sure when, but it was implied at least it was somebody in the FBI that was the leaker. How did that happen?
Well, of course, it's hard to keep that kind of thing private.
Yes.
If you are writing stories that where at various points you have to give clues, but we actually don't know the story until a year and a half or so later, when what Woodward and Bernstein, who were partners in all of this, covering different stories, but on the Watergate story, often wrote you write that one, I'll write this one, and they'd be related stories to each other. So they're both involved in this, and what essentially happens is that the fact is that that the name or the identity of Deep Throat never shows up in the Washington Post. But the other thing that's going on behind the scenes is that these two young reporters, being aggressive kinds of guys, both of them, are anxious to get a book into publication. So there are two or three book representatives who make the regular rounds of places like the Washington Post looking for potential authors. And one of those well-known book promoters, not the publisher, but the agent, book agent, gets acquainted with both Woodward and Bernstein, and they say, "Help us get us a, get a book contract out of somebody here." And what the agent does is propose to them that they are working on this this Woodward this Deep Throat story, and proposes that that become their book. And so at the same time now that they are doing their daily reporting, they are now in line to get a book, and the agent's going to handle it, get the book published for them. And now we got multiple projects going.
It's amazing how that all fit together, and how Deep Throat with the book became sort of what the main angle. That was sort of the hook that was going to get people interested in the book.
That's right. And they didn't know that at the time that all this was brewing. But one of the interesting, one of the really, truly amazing pieces of this puzzle is this, that the agent knew very well that with the Watergate story, he had a more on his hands than just a book. He had a movie idea on his in his sights as well. In other words, get your book done, guys, and I'll see that you got your movie contract. Well, he set the movie contract up long before they got the book done. I want to tell you one other thing about that, but I want to save it for just a moment. So what happens is that they begin work not only on their newspaper, keep doing their newspaper work, but they quickly begin to develop a book based on their research, based on what they are writing about in the Post, and that book is published in 1974, and the book is titled All the President's Men. When it comes out, it's a hit because everybody wants to know. And not only that, but that is the way that the American people were introduced to the character known as Deep Throat.
It is a massive book. I still have that on the bookshelf here, and I keep thinking, do I really need to hang on to that? Yes, it's history.
Yes,
I need to hang on to the book. This is a book you'll want to hang on to as well, The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, a new investigative story of Bernstein Woodward and the FBI's Mark Felt. Time going so quickly in the program, so much great information. I encourage you to go to the bookstore and pick up a copy of this, but I think you were going to touch on how Robert Redford began his interest in this, because this Deep Throat, it really goes a lot deeper, doesn't it? No pun intended there, but it's really captured our attention, and that's sort of the hook for all these projects.
Let me tell you one thing about it, and then I want to go to one last point. But the one interesting point is that Deep Throat is not identified in the book. He is always Deep Throat. And the question that comes out, of course, the book, is who was Deep Throat, and they are allowed to give no real inferences at all about identity, and they adhere to that. So you can read the book and not know who Deep Throat was, but that was a frustrating thing for those of us who bought the book, thinking, yeah, now we're about to meet this. Well, we met the character,
yes,
but we didn't have a name to go with it. We actually knew he was from the FBI. But the interesting thing about it is that that the agent also set up this movie contract with Robert Redford, and they begin quickly to put together a movie. But the problem was that the book could be produced rather quickly, but the movie was going to take 2 years. And the problem for that posed for everybody is a major kind of problem, and it was this, that the book must come out and match the movie. In other words, what the book says and the movie presents must be the same story. But the makers of the movie, they read the story that the Woodward Bernstein guys were working on, and they. There's one episode where Woodward meets Mark Felt in the underground garage someplace in Washington, D.C., and they have a meeting. And when they, and it's only one story, and so what happens is the movie people get a hold of that and realize that visually, to make their movie, that has to become a major recurring event, or the movie has not enough story to hold up. And so they begin work on a script that becomes the movie that has seven underground wild stories of secretly Woodward and Mark Felt meeting and trading information in the underground garage. And that's a major piece of the movie. The problem is that that didn't really happen. And but it had, but if the movie was going to do it, okay, and the movie's not going to come out for 2 years after the book, then guess what the book writers have to do in order not to get caught on a hard limb?
Oh, yes.
You see? And this became the problem, because what the book writers had to do, Woodward and Bernstein do, is to make the book story that they told be exactly what the movie was going to be, even though the book would come first and the movie would come later. Now, I don't know if that made sense.
It takes us back to that time and how long it took to do the movie. This was a moving story too, with Watergate and Deep Throat, and who is Deep Throat. I want to talk, and again, the name of the book, because you want a copy, The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, A New Investigative Story of Bernstein, Woodward, and the FBI's Mark Felt, our guest on the program, Joseph M. Webb. He's the author of the book. His website is very simple, josephmwebb.com, all this on our website. You were one of the first people to visit the library.
Library.
At the University of Texas, the archive. Talk about that and the information that was there. And it had to be eye-opening for you to get all of this information.
Well, one of the things, there was a lot of competition for Woodward and Bernstein papers, all of their reporting papers and all of that, because everybody thought if we get their papers, what are we going to find out? The one question nobody knew how to answer, and that was, who is Deep Throat? That was an unanswerable question. It had been so well guarded, okay? And the University of Texas paid them $5 million thinking they were buying the identity of Deep Throat. And so some of us reporters, I was one of them. I lived in Florida at that time. But I within a week after it all opened, I headed out and spent a week with the archive at the University of Texas, and they set up a separate room for them, and we're all looking for the same thing. We're all looking for Deep Throat, and the problem, of course, was that he was not there. He was nowhere in the archive, and I don't know if they've since adjusted things over the last 50 years or not, but. But we all who went looking for the identity of Deep Throat were disappointed, simply because he was not there, and I subsequently went back to the archive a second time and gathered just information, and it was a good source of information. Much of what's in the book originally came from the library's archive there.
So direct from the archive, the book is The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, A New Investigative Story, and it is new, a Bernstein, Woodward, and the FBI's Mark Felt. You'll find out that Mark Felt had a chip on his shoulder. He wanted to be the new J. Edgar Hoover. That didn't happen. He wasn't real pleased with it and sort of shaded his activity after that. The book is available wherever books are sold. His website, the author's website, Joseph M. Webb, WEB.com, and all this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. I want to talk about the fact that we were led to believe Mark Felt was talking exclusively to Woodward Bernstein. That was the combination of reporters. Was that true, or was he also sharing some information with other reporters?
Oh, no, he was, it is quite clear from other things that he himself wrote. And Mark Felt later wrote a little book of his own. Doesn't say a lot, but one of the things it does, and I think it's There are one or two places you can find information. He was actually assisting about four or five reporters, even though he got by with convincing Woodward that Woodward was the only one he was talking to. He was giving it to the new to my recollection is the New York Post, Time Magazine was getting a lot of help from Mark Felt. As well as about, and there were about five different sources. The interesting thing that is also in my book, are in the back of the book are a number of documents, which were declassified in the 1980s, long after this is over. And one of the things you find out is that Mark Felt is truly a villain in this story, because he as the number two guy in the FBI, he had been given the responsibility of finding who was leaking stories out of the Washington FBI files yes. to all of these media people. And the fact is that what he would do is he would gather in the regular meetings of all the FBI officials and say, whoever is leaking information, we're going to find you. You better stand up and identify yourself now. And it was Felt who was talking, and Felt was the only leaker in the room. And it's a bizarre thing to read his memos, which in effect accuse various other FBI agents of leaking here and leaking there and sending information here and so forth. And all the FBI agents are denying that they are, and with good reason, because Felt was trying to keep the attention off of himself yes. through the whole process.
So the leaker was accusing other people of leaking. It's a fascinating behind-the-scenes story. A minute or so left. I want to talk about journalism professor for five decades. We keep hearing a lot about the secrecy of journalistic sources, especially now. If we don't want to believe a story, we question the secrecy of journalistic sources. In fact, some politicians have said you have to name who these sources are, or we'll put you in jail. I mean, you can't just say that. Talk about the ethics and of the secrecy of journalistic sources, because you've followed journalism for a number of years.
Well, journalists, working journalists, just don't believe in secrecy of journalism.
Yes.
Simply because that's the profession of the profession itself is designed to be open to tell the world what's going on, and secrecy is precisely what journalists are out to kind of battle against. And of course, what they run up against are law enforcement and public officials and so forth, who are doing things that they want to keep secret. And so it's the battle between journalists and public people is there's no solution to it. It's been a part of American history for a long time and will be well into the future. The people who are making the news want to keep it quiet, because letting it out just gets them into hot water and have to explain this and that and so forth. And of course, the journalists are adamantly determined that if you did something, I'm going to tell the world about it. I don't care what you think.
With the state of journalism today, what would happen if Woodward Bernstein came across this story? They have a source. Now, they went, as you talked about, they went to the editor, the publisher. They wanted to know who this was before they put the stamp of approval on that. But would that happen today, that you could do a story of that magnitude and not publicly name the source? Would that happen today?
It's harder simply because the ways of discovering things that newspaper people are doing are far more sophisticated than they were 40, 50 years ago.
Yes.
And so it would be very, very hard to do. And at the same time, there are enough people who are committed to doing that within the professional media industries, that keeping secrets is the hardest thing in the world to do today, despite the fact that that there are so many people committed to who are making decisions and wanting those decisions to be somehow kept. The one last thing I'd like to say, if you
sure,
have just
sure, yes, second, please.
The point that my book tries to make and is that the story that is told in All the President's Men and in the movie, has Deep Throat as a major character meeting Woodward in the underground garage seven times for fun and games. And absolutely none of that. There's no evidence whatsoever that that happened. In fact, Woodward himself, not Woodward, Felt himself wrote in his little book that yes, he had met Woodward one time, and even then he was nervous about meeting him, so he took his assistant along with him. That's the only reference he ever makes to seeing Woodward in a place like the underground garage. And to me, that is the secret. The secret is that the story that ended up in our history books about that underground garage turns out not to be true. So that's the gist of where my book goes. And what I try to do is explain how that all happened.
Well, you do, and you do it so well. It's such an excellent read. This will be a must for your home library, the Watergate Deep Throat Secret, a new investigative story of Bernstein Woodward and the FBI's Mark Felt. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold. Give you all that information here and in a second or so as we wrap up this conversation. As you found out during the conversation with Dr. Webb today, this is new information that's out there and sort of behind the scenes, things that we just didn't know about as it was happening back during the 1970s. Joseph, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to meet you and to I know of your show, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to be part of it. Thank you.
Yeah, we're delighted that you're with us on the program to share the story behind this wonderful book that's brand new, written by Joseph W. Webb, W-E-B-B. The book is The Watergate Deep Throat Secret, a new investigative story of Bernstein Woodward and the FBI's Mark Felt. The book available on his website, josephmwebb.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, kingpagespress.com, the author's marketing consultant, and all of this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. That's what you're listening to This Week in America, and there's more on today's program, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.